You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. All-Star break is over. Miami's played a game. By the time you're listening to this, they'll play two games. We're back to our regular schedule. There's been some weird stuff, but this feels good. We're getting back to the mailbag, David.
Yeah, absolutely. After months of taking questions about the trade deadline and who we could acquire and things of that sort, or at least it felt like months, we're back to answering regular questions about, well, trades and potential changes to the Heat roster. So maybe not much has changed.
The questions in the mailbag seem to always have a theme here. And people just like, Heat fans like to look forward, right? It's just a forward-thinking group. So no complaints here. Let's just get right into it. We got a bunch of questions, actually, about the buyout options. The trade deadline is over. A bunch of people are getting bought out. The Heat got Joe Johnson on the buyout market last season, which was a big addition for them in their playoff run. So Pat Riley, the Heat, they tend to try to look at this buyout market and take advantage of it. It's not going to be the same as it was last year, but the Heat are trying to make a playoff push here, so they could be looking at some options. Terrence Jones is a player that's come up a lot. Jared Sullinger and Mike Scott were recently bought out from the Phoenix Suns. They got we got Omri Caspi, who was recently bought out from the New Orleans Pelicans. Sounds like Jose Calderon is going to be available, a veteran point guard. Are there any of these guys, David, that you're really kind of focusing in on?
Well, I think the power forward position is probably the one that would need the biggest upgrade. And, you know, for everything that we've complained about Luke Babbitt, you know, he's provided some decent floor spacing. He's an option there to knock down a three-pointer, even if it hasn't been a strong suit for him this season. But I think the Heat would probably be best served by adding somebody who plays the power forward position. And so to me, I think a guy like Jared Sullinger is a good option, not just for this season, but also for the future. I think he's still very young. You know, he played a few years with the Boston Celtics, signed as a free agent with Toronto after they added Hal Horford in Boston, so they no longer needed Sullinger, to be honest with you. But unfortunately for Sullinger, he broke his foot, missed a lot of time, and was really just trying to play himself back into you know, regular shape, conditioning-wise. And then they traded for Serge Ibaka, so he became rather superfluous. And then Toronto shipped him out to Phoenix in exchange for P.J. Tucker. And, you know, he's a guy who can play the three and the four as well, so they didn't really need Sullinger at all. And so now Sullinger, of course, you know, he's waived. I like him as a player who, again, he's got weight issues. Like, we can't beat around the bush about that. He's a big guy. He uses his body well, I think, because of that weight. He knows how to create space under the boards. He's a good rebounder, despite the fact he's not very agile and athletic. And he's also a pretty good passer, as you've pointed out to me before, and he's a pretty decent shooter. He does have some limited three-point range, but he's mostly comfortable around the mid-range, I think. So he's still a guy who knows how to play. And I think the thing is with him, he's still young enough, and I think he can contribute not just this year but next year. We've seen Miami, their culture, the fact that they get guys into playing shape. They could take a project like Sullinger and really invest some time in making sure that he gets into that good playing shape, and he can be a factor on this team for years to come. So I think if you're looking at long-term investments that might also be able to contribute this season, he's a good one.
Yeah, he hurt his foot in the preseason against the Warriors for the Raptors and really kind of never got back into playing shape, I guess, for them.
Right.
And so that kind of led to his time expiring in Toronto, but he was supposed to be the answer at power forward for them, and obviously that move for Ibaka, like you mentioned. But I'm with you. I think I've liked Sullinger since he was at Ohio State, actually.
Yeah.
And then he got drafted to Boston, and I thought somewhere in the 20s, like the late first round, and I thought that was a steal. And he looked pretty good for Boston for a couple of years, and then signed with Toronto. And that's not working out. And these are the kind of guys that the Heat have been able to take advantage of. I mean, even James Johnson, whose last team was Toronto before Miami, he had a couple good years here and there and ended up playing, you know, behind a lot of guys and never really got as much playing time as he probably hoped. And the Heat made the most out of James Johnson. Now, I'm not saying Sullinger was going to come out and be James Johnson, but look, if they can get him on the buyout market now, maybe, and sign him to like a two-year deal for a very small amount, this is the time where you can get a guy like Sullinger, who's coming off of an injury, whose market value has never been lower, get him for a very cheap contract and have him under that contract for another couple of years where he could possibly outplay that contract, or worst case scenario, you waive him and that small contract isn't a ton of dead money that you have to deal with.
Right.
I kind of like that move. I'm with you on Sullinger. The other guy that's coming up a lot is Terrence Jones. I think I've seen his name come up a lot on Heat Twitter. We were asked specifically about him from a number of people. I'm a Jones fan as well. I think he's a good rebounder. He's got he's flashed an outside jumper, even though it's not consistent, but that's much like Sullinger. There are games where he's scored 20-plus, 30-plus points. I mean, this is a guy who has all of the physical tools. I mean, he's lean and he's cut and very much the opposite of Jared Sullinger in that way. So maybe he looks a little bit better that way, but also a guy that's been dealing with some injuries the last couple of years. And also possibly a guy you can get on a small deal and maybe get the most out of. Both of them could probably play power forward over Luke Babbitt, or if not over Luke Babbitt, try to take some minutes away from that power forward rotation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Terrence Jones?
I mean, I've never really known much about what his deal is. Like, the way I perceive Jones and the way that a lot of people seem to perceive him is the fact that, you know, he's a guy who was a high draft pick who just has never really been able to make the most. He's been on a number of teams. He seems like he's just been shuttled around, and he's still pretty young too. I mean, he still has a chance to be a contributor. And obviously, like you mentioned, he's got the great physique. He's in, you know, he's really well conditioned, et cetera. So there's potential there. I like that as an option. Another potentially long-term option, you know, for Miami, somebody they can get on the cheap and be able to say, look, we've got an established track record of guys who are willing to do the work, finding success here. We will do what we possibly can to maximize your abilities and help you explore things that maybe we didn't, or other teams didn't know you even had in you. I mean, for example, James Johnson's playmaking and ball handling, et cetera. So, there's potential there, and I think Jones seems like a pretty solid individual. I mean, I don't know that he's had any kind of off the court issues.
He's athletic. He's big. He's bigger than Jared Sullinger, 6'9", 250.
Yeah, he's chiseled.
He could play some center, I think. You know, this is a guy that played at Kentucky. He's talented. I think he could play some center just like Sullinger could, but has a little bit more size, is a little bit more springy. I mean, he averaged 12 points a game in his second season in Houston and almost 12 points a game in his third season in Houston, and then ended up getting traded to New Orleans. He's not a guy he's not bad, you know what I mean? It's just, I think these injury issues have hurt him, and it might be worth taking a flyer on him on a cheap contract. These are the kind of guys that, look, guys like James Johnson and Willie Reed, they're essentially on expiring contracts, and they're going to get huge pay raises next year. We don't know how much they're going to get paid more. So not only looking at which one of these guys can help the Heat for a playoff run, but potentially replace a guy like Willie Reed or James Johnson if they get overpaid this summer and the Heat can't match that contract offer. It might be some insurance there. A guy like Terrence Jones and Sullinger, I think, are definitely that. And Mike Scott, to a smaller degree, he seems to me more like James Johnson than any of the other guys. He has all the physical tools and has been able to flash potential, but just can't really keep the consistency and get off the bench for Atlanta all the time. Another guy that I really like is Omri Caspi.
Yeah.
He was traded in that Boogie Cousins trade from Sacramento to New Orleans.
Whoa, sure.
I hear your dog there. But he's got 3-point range. He can handle the ball a little bit. He's a tweener, 3-4, where these other guys are kind of like 4-5s. He'd have liked them in the past. They've tried to get him in trades reportedly the last couple of years. He's broken his thumb. He's out for a few weeks. The reason I like Caspi is we talked about this on last week's show, but the Heat are going to be able to get potentially one of these guys, but only after they waive Chris Bosh and get that money back, but more importantly for this season, that roster spot back. Caspi's dealing with this thumb injury. It could buy them some time to wait out this Bosh, you know, process of, you know, getting his cap cleared and doing the whole thing with the players union and the NBA front office and did the whole injury exception situation. If they can wait out that process and Caspi's still recovering from this thumb injury, guys like Sullinger and Terrence Jones could get bought out and find another place during that time, but Caspi probably not, because he's got a broken thumb. So maybe that gives them some time.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, all these guys are interesting in their own right, and they provide some options there for Miami as long-term potential pieces. You know, obviously Caspi nursing his injury and everything else, but you know, we talked about this in our most recent podcast about the motivation for guys to come to Miami. It's obviously a little different than it has been in the past, when Miami was an elite team and a title contender, and they were just looking for guys that might have, you know, found themselves as veterans and still missing that championship as they wanted to add to their resume. This isn't the case, obviously, with this year. So you wonder whether or not they see Miami, and especially based on this season, as the potential, you know, launching point for them to continue to grow and develop as players.
That's the new motivation, right? Is
exactly.
Rather than Joe Johnson coming in with the Ray Allen motivation,
right?
It's Sullinger or Terrence Jones or Caspi coming in with the James Johnson motivation or the Deion
exactly.
Waiters motivation. It's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. And these are the kind of players that are available for them, right? A Darren Williams is probably going to go join Cleveland with the Ray Allen motivation, but
exactly.
Guys like Sullinger who might be able to use Miami's infrastructure to get their career back on track is very valuable for these guys, especially for their pockets.
Sure.
So let's move on to the next question. I think I'm with you though. I think if let's just rank them really quick. If we got our pick of the litter, the Heat have the roster spot open right now. Sullinger number one.
Yes.
Terrence Jones number two.
Yes.
Caspi.
Yes.
And then whoever else.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. We got the same question in two different ways, so I'm going to go ahead and read both of them. The first one is from Billy Kuhn, the only Heat fan in Miami, apparently, as he puts it.
No, Ohio.
Ohio. The only Heat fan in Ohio. Sorry. Obviously not the only Heat fan in Miami. You guys talked a lot on the last podcast about how you see acquiring Paul George or Jimmy Butler as the only ways to be contenders. Hear me out on this. Wait until free agency this year and make a run at guys like Paul Millsap and Danilo Gallinari, and keep this core together and wait out the LeBron James situation in Cleveland. That's Billy's. Here's Tom Namar, a Heat fan from Toronto. I don't understand why you think that giving up Whiteside or Dragic plus Justice Winslow and a pick for Paul George or Jimmy Butler will overall improve this team. It would be a big difference from signing Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin, since they would have to give up so many parts for George or Butler. So both Billy and Tom kind of asking the same thing. Why trade the farm for Jimmy Butler or Paul George when you could hypothetically just sign Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin, Danilo Gallinari? We'll throw Gordon Hayward into the mix too.
Sure.
Why trade when you could just sign?
Well, I think the obvious contention is that a superstar helps these teams win, and you need to acquire one of those higher-end players in order to establish yourself as a team that can go further in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And and the second part of that is the fact that, you know, it's no guarantee that we're going to be able to add a free agent this summer. You know, Miami might be still a destination market to free agents, but not necessarily as strongly a destination as they have been in the past, right, without Dwayne Wade, et cetera. You know, their window is very weird. You know, you have players like Dragic and Whiteside. Are those guys that, if you're a veteran around the league, you say to yourself, this is the team I want to play with? Nah, I don't know if that's necessarily the case anymore.
And the other part about the other part of this is that if you trade for Paul George or Jimmy Butler, you get those guys bird rights. It helps you
yes.
put a roster in place around them. And so the idea that you could sign, let's just say Paul Millsap, right? Or let's even go even further. Let's go Blake Griffin, a guy with superstar potential. If you could just sign Blake Griffin for $33.5 million a year, which is what it would take at this point, I think, or 28.5, I'm sorry. You could sign him for that max deal, but the Heat wouldn't be able to re-sign James Johnson. They wouldn't be able to re-sign Willie Reed. They probably wouldn't be able to re-sign Deion Waiters. They might be able to keep one of those three guys at best. And when Justice Winslow's contract comes up and you have to extend him, I mean, this whole situation gets really difficult because you have to sign these guys with cap space. You can't sign them with bird rights, which allows you to go over the cap to retain them. And so this theory that you could keep this core together and just add a Hayward or a Griffin or Gallinari and Millsap to it, maybe in the short term it's possible, but you're still stretching it. I don't think you can keep this core together and also sign those free agents. I just don't see how the money works. I've been racking my brain over this last night trying to figure out how it works. and to keep this core, so basically James Johnson and Deion Waiters, you still have to let Willie Reed walk, and to sign a free agent, you can only sign him for about $20 million, and that's really pushing it. So that's not going to be enough to get Griffin. It's not going to be enough to get Millsap. Maybe it's enough to get Gallinari. That's about it. And you and I have spoken about Gallinari and his injury issues, so I don't even know if that's worth it. But that's the whole idea. So it's not that you can just add them to this roster by just paying them. You've got to make room.
Yeah, it's certainly tricky. I mean, I think the goal still is to, if you can acquire also a big name via trade like that, then obviously Miami does become a better, brighter destination as well for other free agents. You know,
right, because you're saying Paul George and Jimmy Butler, they're a step above Millsap, Gallinari, even Blake Griffin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that was debatable. I mean, these guys are, I think, still top 10, top 15 players in the league. Absolutely. And the combination of Paul George in Indiana isn't necessarily luring free agents. Paul George in Miami, I think that's certainly a step up. With the established culture, with the fact that it's South Florida, with the fact that there's, you know, no state income tax, et cetera, those things are all vastly appealing to guys who play in the league. And I think that's certainly a much brighter lure than it would be in Indiana. So
those
guys are
superstars. And Paul Millsap is great, and I'd love to have him. Gallinari is a fun player. I'd love to have him.
Absolutely.
But they're B-level players at this point. I mean, we've seen them. I mean, they're on good teams now. Denver's a good team, right? They're almost a good team. And he's been on good Denver teams in the past. Millsap has been on the Hawks. Like, these are great. They're good players. They're just not players that players are going to flock to Miami to play with. And if you can trade Whiteside for and an assortment of parts for Paul George or Jimmy Butler, now you have a top 15 player in the league. And
right.
History shows you need at least a top 15 player to even be considered a contender.
Right. I mean, look, you know, Millsap, I think both of us feel strongly about him. Yeah. You know, you texted me during last night's game against the Hawks how much you'd like him to sign with his team. And it's I mean, he's an interesting option. Look, for all that he's underrated, I've written about him. I've talked to him. You know, he's so underrated. He's worked so hard, though, and he's gotten better as his career's progressed. It's always been something that's been undervalued, I think, as fans across the league don't really appreciate what he does because it's so simple and straightforward, but yet so effective. But that the reality is also that he has an option year left. He's 32 years old. He could opt in and continue to cash in from the Hawks. Or if he opts out, he's looking to get a much more lucrative deal. We're talking about a 32-year-old player who still produces at a high level, but is wanting to make about $30 million a year. I mean, I think that's something a lot of fans have to consider.
And that shortens Miami's window, right? Like, if we're talking about a window, this is the other part that Billy and Tom both talked about, was the LeBron James situation in Cleveland. Like, even if you sign any of these guys, even if the Heat acquired Jimmy Butler or Paul George, they're not as good as Cleveland is today. And right. And you have to sort of wait out that LeBron thing. And if you sign Millsap, that doesn't give you a longer window. But if you acquire, if you trade Dragic, who's on the other side of 30 now, or if you trade Whiteside and you're able to get Paul George or Jimmy Butler, that extends your window. Because Paul George is 26 years old. Jimmy Butler is, what, 27? Like, these guys are still just hitting their prime. It extends your window completely and gives your team a lot more options. And like you said, players want to play with them. By the way, Woj just tweeted that Deron Williams is going to be signing with Cleveland, which we knew, but now it's, I guess, officially happening. So,
wow.
That Cleveland window just keeps getting bigger. Yeah. All right, next question. This is from Chris Leach. Pat Riley said he was looking to grab another pick in the upcoming draft. Do you see him making a draft night trade for such an asset, or do you think it's more likely that they go the other way and trade their own pick on draft night? This is, of course, because Pat Riley, mentioned to David Aldridge or NBA.com or something like that earlier in the season that he had eyes on acquiring another first-round pick. That created a big stir and a lot of hoopla, and everybody thought that, oh, this means the Heat are going to tank. They're going to trade Dragic for a first-round pick. The Heat went on that big win streak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't really heard much about it. The trade deadline came. The Heat did not make a move at all. Let alone acquiring a pick. So does Riley still want that pick? It's a very good question.
Yeah, it's tough to know exactly what Riley's thinking. I mean, we've parsed all of his statements at following the trade deadline and tried to glean anything from there. And really, we haven't been able to figure out much. At least you and I haven't. I don't know if somebody wants to try and do it and infer something, that's fine. But from what I can tell, he seems to be content with the team as it's currently constructed. You know, comments that he's made to season ticket holders at a recent event indicate that he's looking to shore this up and add another potential piece, maybe a star free agent. Again, that seems great in theory, but it's not necessarily a practical approach. And the draft is probably the best way of guaranteeing that you can attract a future star, especially given the title window for Cleveland and how Miami's title window doesn't coincide with that. You know, they're much more further along. They're much more long-term growth than a project at this point. So I would think that they would probably want to acquire another draft pick, to be honest with you. And I don't know that I necessarily agree with that methodology, but I think that's probably what their line of thinking is.
So you
despite
you think
Riley's
that,
comments.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I tend to believe Riley when he says he wants to shorten this rebuild. I think this goes back to our conversation from last week where I was saying that I know that Riley wants to win championships, but I think even more so, he just wants to win more than he loses.
Awesome.
And if you're able to just bring one more B-plus level player in,
yeah,
that onto this roster somehow,
yeah,
that basically guarantees that this team would be winning more than it would be losing. And that, I think, might be good enough. But look, you and I have gone back and forth on this the whole time. The only way that the Heat acquire another pick at this point is if they trade Dragic or Whiteside. I just don't see a way that this team... Look, Riley's never traded borderline superstars for draft picks. He just hasn't done it. That's not a thing he does, so I don't see that happening. I think it's more likely that the Heat trade their pick. If it ends up in the top 15 and they're able to package that with maybe an Hassan Whiteside and make a move to go get one of these other better players, that to me seems more likely. Or... look, they don't have any second-round picks, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this after the trade deadline, why the Heat didn't make a move. There was only one trade at the trade deadline that did not involve a draft pick. Isn't that crazy? Every other trade involved at least a second-round pick. The Heat don't have any second-round picks to trade. They can't trade any of their first-round picks for the foreseeable future. I think the only pick that they can move is a 2022 first-round pick, which like doesn't even seem like a real year at this point. They didn't have what it takes to grease the wheels. It seems more likely to me that maybe Miami moves down in the draft. trade their first-round pick that ends up at, let's just say it ends up at 15 or 16, right? Right outside the lottery.
Right.
They move down to 23 and get a second-round pick and maybe a future second-round pick in return.
Does that happen?
Yeah.
Does that happen? Because, I mean, I feel like that's something that happens more often in the NFL when I was paying attention to the NFL draft. But I can't recall the last time an NBA team has drafted
down. They do the player swap.
Pick swap?
Okay. Yeah, they're like, we'll draft this player, then you draft this player, and then we'll swap them, and you give us a second-round pick.
Okay.
That's what they
do. I guess you're right. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's true.
It is different, though, right? So that to me sounds like – didn't they do that with, like, Arnett Moultrie or something with the 76ers, but it was, like, the opposite? They gave away a second-round pick or something?
Yeah.
A few years ago. So something to that extent.
They drafted Jason Smith and traded him to the 76ers, and then they swapped him for Arnett Moultrie. Wow, right? Wasn't that something? I think that's what it was.
I don't know if that was the same year.
Well, maybe it wasn't.
I feel like Jason Smith was older. But they've done it before, and that to me sounds like something that maybe Miami does again. And it's not because Riley necessarily cares about second-round picks. It's not like he necessarily wants to... Even though he might, right? Because like you look at guys like Josh Richardson and how cap-friendly their contract is, he might value a second-round pick at this point more than a first-round pick, especially with the luck that they've had recently in the second round and even in the D-League. Their scouts might just be better at finding those guys. But look, I think maybe he looks to acquire those guys because he sees like if we want to make a trade and we want to stay flexible, we need some second-round picks because that's what it takes in today's NBA, even if he doesn't plan on taking anybody with those picks.
I mean, maybe it's an old school mentality, and I'm certainly guilty of that on occasion. But you know, I just feel like now with the one and done system, we're gauging 19-year-olds against other 19-year-olds, and there's the very real possibility that a 19-year-old selected 45th overall will probably develop at 22 or 23 just as much as a 19-year-old selected first overall will. There's always the potential in the next 2 or 3 years after the draft where a player like, you know, Josh Richardson could wind up better than, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a top five player who hasn't necessarily panned out.
Justice Winslow. Richardson could end up as better than Justice Winslow. I mean,
that's potential. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, Frank Kaminsky.
I think Riley looks – look, if it – between the three options of Riley trading for another first-round pick, trading the first-round pick that the Heat already have – and when we say trading the first-round pick, what we mean by that is that they'd have to select the player and then trade that player because they can't trade the pick. Or moving down in the draft, of those three options, I think it's more likely than not that he just trades the pick in a package for a better player. I think that's what we've seen from Riley in the past, and that's probably where, look, if he wants to shorten up this rebuild, that's the best way to do it because right now that's probably the best asset that they have.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, final question. Speaking of the draft, should the Heat think about drafting North Carolina's Justin Jackson? He's a shooter, and he reminds me of a bigger Devin Booker. Not sure I agree with that, but that's from Tyler Thomas at TylerBro44 on Twitter. You could send mailbag questions on Twitter as well, folks. Justin Jackson, we talked a little bit about him before we started recording. I honestly haven't gotten a chance to really watch him, but I'm looking at his numbers and I'm looking at his frame. Look, I love Devin Booker when he was at Kentucky. I don't think that Justin Jackson is anything like Devin Booker because Booker, to me, always looked like he had playmaking and off-the-dribble ability. I don't know that Justin Jackson has that. I don't know that he doesn't. I haven't watched a lot of him. But, look, he's what, 6'8", 190 pounds wet? Like, I don't know. We're talking about guys that are young. He's 21, and he's still only 190 pounds. That's a concern for me. Like, how much bigger is this dude going to get? I don't know.
Actually, I'm looking at it now. His birthday is March 28th, so he's going to turn 22.
If you're 22 years old, you got to be ready now. And at 190 pounds and 6'8", and he's, like, long and spidery, like Brendan Ingram was. But Ingram's, what, 18 years old? Turned 19 this season? Like, he's got plenty of time. He's 3-4 years behind this guy to put on some weight. This guy's, like, the same size. You know, he's
older than Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, you know? No thanks. And I don't want anything to do with him. But look, Justin Jackson. This is I kind of want to divert this question because, I think it was the Miami Herald or no, the Palm Beach Post. I think it was the Palm Beach Post. Jason Leiser wrote about that's not his name. Who's the new guy over there? Anthony Chang.
Anthony Chang.
From the program. Yeah. Wrote a really good piece.
Eliza with the old Palm Beach Post Heat correspondent.
Where is he now? Oh, no, because of the Dolphins.
He does football. He does football.
Shouts to Jason. Anthony wrote a good piece about how this scouting process is going to be. And at first, in the beginning of the year, they were looking at the top six guys. And now they're looking at the top 20 guys.
Right.
And I'm looking at where the Heat are in the standings. Look, this team is too good to be picking the top five. Top six. I mean, that's it. This to me looks like a team that could be picking anywhere between 8 and 16, which is, you know, in a pretty substantial sample size of players to be looking at. Justin Jackson is going up draft boards because he's scoring a ton of points and he seems like a really natural scorer and he looks like he's improved over his time at UNC, but it's right in that range that maybe the Heat have to be thinking, where we were talking about earlier in the season, Markel Fultz, Lonzo Ball, these kind of guys, now it might be more of this Justin Jackson type field of players in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, look, so much can change. I mean, we've seen players have breakouts in during the tournament and things of that sort. There'll always be invariably a European player who starts climbing up as the draft gets nearer.
Like Isaiah Hartenstein?
Sure.
A guy.
Like Mario Hezonja. I mean, a guy that I don't think a lot of people knew about, and all of a sudden he has a couple games, he makes some cocky comments, and next thing you know, he's a surefire first-round pick who's, you know, struggling to find playing time in Orlando. So, you know, a lot can change. So, I mean, you wonder – obviously you need to know where Miami's draft position is going to be, but, you know – I think there are a lot of interesting options out there and probably, you know, some that are in the later part of the first round that you have to start looking. I think a guy like this kid out of North Carolina is probably somebody who's best suited for the second round, to be honest with you.
Yeah, at that age, I think that's, and his relative size, I think that's going to scare some people off. Unless there's somebody just looking for somebody that can come in and just kind of score some points. It might be a fit situation, but I don't think that's what Miami's looking for. I think they're looking for somebody with real all-star potential if they're going to be picking in the middle of that first round, right?
Yeah, I agree. I talked to Norm Powell, who was a second-round pick, and you know, he had a great career. I think probably a better career than Josh Richardson did at Tennessee. And, you know, I asked him about the draft, his draft position, because he was selected so late in the draft. And
who selected, you know, after Richardson?
I don't know exactly. I can't recall exactly what it was. Both of them were four-year players, though. And Powell said, you know, I think that's what hurt me in the draft. You know, I got, a lot of teams look at a guy who's been 4 years and who spent 4 years in college, and they think, well, that's it. That's as high as they're going to go. There's no window for growth or anything like that.
Well,
if
we look at Riley's track history, right? He drafted Josh
Richardson.
He's preferred
guys like that. Yeah,
and even Justice Winslow. I mean, maybe he preferred Winslow because of, you know, his number one strength in a lot of cases was just his maturity and how he just seems wise beyond his years. And we saw those kind of phrases and thrown out there when it came to Winslow during the draft. So maybe a guy like Jackson, maybe guys that have experience, maybe guys that went international to play professional basketball for a little bit. Maybe those are guys that Riley might be more interested in.
Yeah.
Didn't he draft Shabazz Napier? Was at UConn for a while?
Yeah, he was a four-year guy.
Yeah.
I think his rationale, you know, so much of what Miami does is hard to gauge. Like, it's all about your desire, your wants, you know, and things of that sort. The kind of things that are immeasurable, really. And I think if you see a guy who's been, you know, spent 4 years in college or spent some time overseas, look at Udonis Haslem, you know, that's a guy who you can say, well, he's willing to do whatever it takes to carve out a niche for himself in the league and is willing to outwork other guys. Whereas a young talent, you know, look, he took a flyer on Dorrell Wright out of high school. And, you know, for all that we love Dorrell and for all his contributions as a Heat player, he's been a middling player at best, you know. And that's tough to say, but that's the reality. Sure. He's never become the superstar that a lot of teams thought he might be. So I think for a guy like Riley, he'd rather take a chance on somebody who's already developed and willing to continue doing that work to take that next level, to reach that next level.
So I'm looking at Draft Express right now and just looking at guys that might fit that right around where the Heat would be picking and are not one-and-done type guys. California's Ivan Rabb, who I've talked about before, right? He came back. He played his sophomore season. John Collins of Wake Forest, a 6'9", 6'10", power forward. O.J. Anunoboy from Indiana, who unfortunately suffered a pretty bad injury this year. I think he's out for the season.
He is.
But I love that guy. I mean, talk about somebody that could pair with Winslow and just have, like, a killer perimeter defense. That would be crazy. I'm looking at Tyler Lydon, Syracuse, could fit a need as a tweener forward. Could potentially play some power forward. Donovan Mitchell, guard from Louisville. Every time I see him, I've liked him.
Really?
Justin Jackson from North Carolina, he's a junior. And then Luke Kennard from Duke, the sophomore shooting guard.
Who's
in player of the year conversations. Those are guys that maybe, if going with this line of thinking, that Riley might be targeting. Okay. So that's basically it. So we're looking at, we got some draft questions, some buyout questions. We're recording this on a Saturday because we're not recording on Sunday. So hopefully by the time this posts, there's this buyout situation is still relevant. But yeah. I think we're, like, the trade deadline is over, and at least we know what this Heat team is for the rest of the way. It's going to be interesting what happens this summer, right? This is going to be the summer that decides kind of these next few years for the Heat, and that's where a lot of these mailbag questions are being focused. So you can send us those mailbag questions at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. That's all we have. Thank you for listening. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, we appreciate it. If you're not subscribed already, please do so. Get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.